You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 250. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And tonight we are going to look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, who lost 6-3 to the Islanders and then followed that up with a 5-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets this afternoon. And a win in Buffalo, too.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody wins in Buffalo.
God, they lost their 13 straight now losses for the Sabres. 6-3 win over the Sabres in Murray's return.
Yep.
Not the best return for Murdog, but hey, we'll take it. Then they send him.
He didn't look that bad.
No, he didn't look that bad. And then they send him right back down to the Marlies, but that's just because of like the cap implications. Not even the cap implications. Just to have him like, do you know the ins and outs of what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, it's sort of to protect him from having to go on waivers.
Exactly. 30 consecutive days or 10 games or something. So, like, yeah, their Brandon Pridham is working it all out there. So keeping him in the picture for as long as possible without having to put him on waivers. So, yeah, I get all that. But, yeah, so he 6-3 win in his return. Good to see. 6-3 loss, like you said, to the Islanders, and then a 5-2 loss, I believe, to the Jets this afternoon, recording this on Christmas Eve, the 23rd, which will be our last podcast until, well, they're off 3 days back-to-back next weekend. We'll be back sometime next weekend to break down the two games in the back-to-back. But look, tonight we might get into a little bit of Leafs Christmas wish list, okay? Just as we get going. Like, I got a few things I'd like to bounce off you. Leafs Christmas wish list. What would be under the tree for tree living and the Toronto Maple Leafs? What's Santa's bringing? What does Santa need to bring for the Leafs to get things going right in the right direction in the new year? But
what's he got in his sack?
Yes, what's he got in his sack? More on that later. But here we go again. What the last podcast we were talking, we didn't want to do it, had to do it. We were talking about right at the tail end of it. We're like, Austin Matthews, what are we doing here? This is before like the cross check happened in the Sabres game. You could tell he was laboring. Like, it was a clear shot to the ribs / a lower back. All of a sudden, banged up again. Re-aggravated the injury, missed the Islanders game, missed today's game against the Jets. No surprise there. They've got the break and all that. 3 day break. It's not, you know, 3 days is 3 days, whatever. But your thoughts on him back on the shelf? Do you expect this going long term again? How do you handle the Matthews re-aggravated injury this time around, Chad? Thoughts, please.
We've talked about it a few times now on the podcast of just shutting him down until he's healthy, using that cap space. Maybe if you could, you know, if he needs a significant amount of time, you could load up at the trade deadline and go in. The thing that throws a wrench into all this is the Four Nations faceoff. I think he is going to keep pushing himself back into the lineup when he's not 100% because he wants so bad to play in that tournament. And that's what's going to happen, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
He's going to come back, and he hasn't looked himself all season. He's going to come back into the lineup. He's not going to look himself again, but he's just going to keep, you know, taping himself together so he can play in the Four Nations faceoff.
Okay. I don't think you're wrong. Like, 100%, I do not think you're wrong. But you've got a month here. You've got a month and a half before that happens. Now, I will say this. Did they look a lot of different moving parts here. Did they look the same? Like, when he was out, when he missed the month of November, they looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. But they have not looked that great without him. And keep in mind, they had Stolarz in that the month of November too. So, like, that helped. Now, no Stolarz, no Matthews. Wall, I'm not going to say is playing bad, but he's definitely doesn't look the same that he has. He looks like there's been a bit of a dip here the last few games for Joseph Woll. So combine all these things, and I'll get to Tanev missing today's game. yep. which is a major loss. Hopefully nothing major there, I don't think. But man, does that blue line not look a lot different
when
Tanev isn't in the fucking lineup? Like, talk about night and day, right? Like, just one guy, but specifically him being the guy. It's not the same blue line without him back there, man.
No, it's not the same at all. I mean, it looked a lot different when McCabe was out, but yes. it looks crazy without Tanev.
Anything alarming there, or do you think this was just maintenance, like something he's laboring because of the way he plays, and like, let's just keep him out here and like, he'll be back. No concern. He'll be back after the break.
As far as I know, yeah, there shouldn't be any concern. The way they're talking about it shouldn't be any concern.
Well,
he's played like that his entire career.
If they say day to day, look out.
I know, but they say day to day, 6 months. 6 months minimum. No, he looked fine the last time he played. That's just the way he's getting older too, right?
Oh yeah. 36.
And I mean, he blocks everything.
Yeah.
Every fucking shot he jumps in front of when he's out on the ice. I'm not too worried about it, but we'll see, because I've said that before this year about other players, and then they're gone 2 months. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope not, though, because you're right. The way you don't even notice him, which I guess with the defenseman, that's a good thing. But the way he puts out the fire in his own end and just calmly gets the puck, calmly blocks shots, just diffuses any play that the offense has coming towards them. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Without him. With watching it without him, did it not remind you of old Leafs?
Oh my God.
Scrambling a little bit.
Oh my God. 100%, man. Like they sure could have used him this afternoon against the Winnipeg Jets, like without a doubt. I don't know. Tanev, hopefully it's nothing serious. Like, I think it was just probably a precautionary thing. This guy's a fucking bulldog anyway. Like, he'd have to have something significantly wrong to not play. But it's just like, he's just been such a vital part of that new vamped blue line. Hopefully he gets some Christmas eggnog into him and he'll be good as new come next weekend. That's what we're hoping. But going back to Matthews, I cannot say the same thing there. So here we go. Here's where it's at for me. This is no longer like a, okay, let's like, you can't fuck around with this, man. You can't fuck around with this anymore. Whatever it is, whether it's his back, whether it's like, I don't know, like, was the injury ever fully really healed? I would say no, but all of a sudden that cross check aggravated it. It was kind of to the ribs, to the lower back area. Like, they did come out and say that he re-aggravated the injury. So like, it's back, right? Like, it's got to be his back, right? Like, do you think it was re-aggravated before that cross check?
I don't think so. That's the play where you could tell significantly that was it.
Okay, so lower back, like but also there was a wrist thing in that game too. I'm not sure if you caught it, where he was like he kind of fell awkwardly on his wrist, and then he was like kind of like rotating his wrist and looking at his wrist. So like,
they said it was re-aggravated.
Yeah, but how do we know it wasn't his wrist all along?
I just don't think it was his wrist. I think if you're flying over to Germany for something, it's probably your back. And I hate to say it, but it's probably a little serious.
Oh, it's more than a little serious at this point.
Well, I'm not talking like crazy, you know, spinal fusion or something like that.
No, there's probably
a serious back injury going on there. I feel like with a wrist, I don't think he would fly to Germany for a wrist injury unless it was something really significant, but I just don't see that.
He's not shooting the puck the same, so it could be the wrist. Could be a combination for all we know. We don't fucking
know. Maybe it's both.
But like, he's not shooting the puck the same. He's not doing anything the fucking same.
No.
So it like, is the back affecting it? Like, spasms or whatever the case, whatever's going on with the back or potentially the wrist, like would the back be affecting him so much that he's like, he's not like toe dragging and ripping it like he used to? Like, this guy's not doing anything that he used to do. Nothing. He's not back checking hard. I'm at a loss here, because he's such a significant piece when he's like, yeah, do you want him in there if he's like 80%? Like, I guess, but Do you?
I don't.
Not really, because he's not really helping.
Like, he's only worsening it. Like, maybe he shouldn't have come back when he did.
No, he probably shouldn't have.
Now he might be worse than he was before when he left in November. I don't know, man. What do you do? Because like I said, there's no way he's going to shut it down with that tournament in 6 weeks.
Okay.
Or 8 weeks or whenever it is.
I know he wants to play in the tournament. I understand that. That should be secondary to the Stanley Cup playoffs with the team that pays him $13.5 million fucking dollars.
I agree. But so, you know that he wants to be in that tournament.
Of course he does. Of course I want to be in the tournament. Like, of course he wants to be in the tournament.
Right. But you haven't been named to the team. He's been named to the top line of that team.
I know. I'm just saying. But like, priorities here. Like, I think he will play in the tournament. But guess what? He's not going to help the Americans do fucking dick if he looks like this, too. Like, the Americans are a good hockey team, but like, he's not going to go in there and like outplay. It'll be Tkachuk and JT Miller and the Tkachuk brothers that like help the Americans win, not Austin Matthews looking like fucking he's been looking.
No, right? I agree with you, but that doesn't negate the fact that he wants to be there.
I know. And I think whether it's
80%, 70%. He wants to be there and he wants to be a part of the team. Cause if they win, he wants to be a part of that America. They've missed these guys, the McDavids, Matthews, they've missed the Olympics.
Of course.
Like, this is their first chance to really on a big stage do it.
First chance for him. First chance for him specifically to play for his country. Of course he wants to do it. He wants to be there 100%. And I think he will be there, but here we are. We've got a week left in the month of December. He's not playing on the weekend. That's 100%. He's not playing the rest of this fucking month for sure. But how long do you need to go? Here we are now, like January. Can you take the month of January and the first 2 weeks of February or the first week, whatever it is? I think it might start the second week. I'm not sure. But how long do you need to take? Do you just take this remaining time? And we were talking about this at the end of the last podcast. Yeah. Do you take this remaining time now? Like, can the Leafs stay afloat without him for the next, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks? Can they stay afloat without him? Keep in mind, Stolarz will also be out that amount of time. So without arguably their best goaltender and arguably their best, not arguably, without their best player when he's healthy, where are we at here? Like, is this what you want? Because it just, you can't keep going like this or we're cooked. We are fucking cooked when we're talking about the playoffs. Absolutely cooked. And what's to say that he's not going to fucking, okay, so he tries to push it through January to get through the four nations. And then what? We're left with an even more fucking, the injuries even worse coming in, going into March when we're a month and a half away from the fucking first round of the playoffs. Can't do that. Can you? Like, the management team has to step in here, Chad, right? And be like, look, however long...
I don't think they can.
You've got a full month plus that we're... Yeah. I'm talking January here. Let's start there.
This is what they have to do. They have to lay it out and be like, you are not playing until we get the green light that you are, like, 100% healthy or as close to 100% as you can be. No one in the NHL is 100% healthy at any time. And you have to tell them, if that means come the Four Nations face-off, you're still not there, guess what? We're not letting you go.
Can they control that?
They should have some sort of say. Like you say, you're paying them all this money. You kind of own the player. I don't know. I don't know if he can just be like, fuck it, I'm going to play.
I don't know either. Interesting, but though.
I would just lay it out and be like, you are not coming back. This is so stupid for you to, oh, I'm feeling better, come back in. One cross check to the lower back, and all of a sudden it's out again.
It was a hard cross check.
It was a really hard cross check. Yeah.
Should have been a penalty, but anyway, that's
a debate for another show. But yeah, it should have been a penalty. It was a hard cross check. I agree with you. But at the same time, what's it going to be next? Like, what's it going to be next? Is he going to run into the post? Is he going to take an awkward fall into the boards? And then he's out another 2 months?
Yeah.
Like, hockey is a rough sport. you're going to get beat up. Make sure you can fucking handle it before you come back to the team. And if that means that you got to miss the Four Nations faceoff, I'm sorry, but we pay you $13.5 million to try and win a Stanley Cup for the city of Toronto. That's your job.
100% agree. So I guess we can move off of Matthews with, I guess, last thing I'll say on it is, look, there is time here. There's time.
There's lots of time.
You've got over a month before the Four Nations. Now is the fucking time. So keep them out. Get it as right as you can. If you need to see different specialists, back to Germany, whatever the hell you need to do, do it. Get it as close to 100%, like you said, as possible. And then, like I kind of touched on last podcast at the end, like, look, now is the time to take him out. Let's get this guy healthy. If it takes all of January, then that's what it fucking takes. He comes back February, looking hopefully better, plays in the Four Nations, so he can still slide in there. And like away you go down the stretch, March, April, healthy. Now's the time. January, this is the month. Can they stay afloat without him? I would say yes. What do you think?
Yeah, oh, definitely they could stay afloat without him. Like, I feel that the NHL this year, and maybe you disagree with me on this, I don't think it's as top heavy as it's been in years past. It kind of feels like there's some really good teams, like a small bracket of really good teams, and then there is a ton of mid teams.
There's just like,
just a ton of teams that are like middle of the pack. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to win their division. It's just middle teams.
There's like 8 to 10 teams that can win the cup. That's how I see it. Literally. Well, that's just, it.
Yeah. The way that the season is breaking down, like normally there's more teams that are sort of fighting for the division and are competitive against each other. But I kind of feel like there's this gap this year where there's just a lot of mid teams. So they can definitely stay afloat. They can do better than stay afloat. I think that they could still be top of their division by the time Matthews comes back. This is a good fucking hockey team.
Yeah.
They can pull it off, but I don't know. The more important thing is getting Matthews healthy. And this is why, just one last thing on Matthews, this is why I fucking hate the NHL doesn't tell you what the injury is like other sports does. Because we just talked about this for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If they just come out and they're like, he's got a broken rib. Oh, okay. Well, all right. We got to let that, like, I fucking hate it. I hate that we're always speculating what's wrong.
I know. Okay. We'll see. It should be interesting to see what happens here. Just all I want is this guy healthy. We'll move on.
Me too.
So we'll see. It should be very interesting what the Leafs do. The third line. Incredible. Incredible again. And I would like Robertson, McMahon, Domi, just all weekend, except for going into today where Berube decides to split them up. Hottest line on the team. And you're going to split them up. You can't find another way to put a lineup out there without splitting the three of those guys up. Did that make any fucking sense to you at all? They've been cooking, just cooking. And you're going to split the three of them up. Why would you do that this afternoon? Why?
They've been cooking. I didn't think they were overly amazing in the Islander game.
Okay, and nobody was.
But I'm not mad that he broke him up because,
well,
with Matthews being out, you need to get other lines going. You need to get other people scoring.
But why touch that? Why touch that particular one? Like, there's other guys you could move around that you could leave that line intact. To me, they've been the best line on the team for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a third line, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, but we've been talking about, like, they haven't had one.
We've been talking about getting depth scoring. They're finally getting depth scoring, and then they kind of ruin it. But my theory on that is, I mean, the top two lines are more important. And if I feel I need to pull someone off the third line to get the top two lines going, I'm probably going to do that. Even though I like that third line, it's just not as important as... If I feel Bobby McMahon should play on the second or first line, then I'm going to break up that third line.
Fair. Didn't work, though, but anyway.
Did not work.
I'd go back to that. Like, I'd put those three guys together and I ride it till the wheels fucking fall off. I find a different first line and I find a different second line, and that's it, man. I ride that third line till the wheels fucking fall. The three of them have never looked better all season long. Why the fuck would you move away from it? That's the only thing I'm saying. So, like, and I think he'll go back to it, obviously, but Yeah, there's going to be, especially if 34 is going to miss some significant time here, which I kind of am think that's going to be the case. I don't see how it's not. You got to get him right. That third line I would leave intact. Anyway, let's move on. John Tavares gets his 200th goal as a Leaf this afternoon in the loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Fifth player all time to have 200 goals with two different teams. I'm going to botch this, but I'm going to try it. Gretzky, I already botched it. Gretzky, do you know who the other four guys are? One of them is Keith Tkachuk.
Lanny
McDonald, Gretzky, Keith Tkachuk. We're missing somebody. I can't think of who it is. Anyway.
Well, you are the one that brought it up.
I know.
You have the answers. Like, if no, I was going to bring it up, I would have it written in front of me.
What? I knew it was Gretzky. I knew McDonald. I knew Keith Tkachuk. I forget who the other guy is.
You can't bring up trivia and not know the answers.
Whatever. He's the fifth. JT's the fifth all time to do it. It's okay. We missed one of the guys, but it's... Yeah, no. Okay. Anyway, whatever. We don't need to spend time on that. It's okay. But incredible. JT, man. Like, everyone thought that the point production would drop off, and he's been fucking outstanding, man. Remember how much talk there was about, well, in year 6 and 7 of Tavares' contract, he's going to fall off and whatever. He has not at all. If anything, he's just get the lunch pail, put the hard hat on, and go to work. Every fucking night, every fucking shift for John Tavares throughout the, like, you know, even he's just been a steady, gets his fucking goals, had a nice backdoor dish from Mitch where he buried it today, and another 2-goal game by Tavares. So I just think he's been incredible. And just with all the talk of, like, you know, the wheels will fall off in year 6 and 7. And I know he's in a contract year, but I just want to take a second to, because I don't think we've talked about him enough. He's been great. So if you want to talk about him for a second, his 200th goal as a Leaf this afternoon and his 201st goal, but 200 goals for the Islanders, 200 goals for the Leafs. And it doesn't look like it's dropping off anytime soon. He's a fucking super high IQ hockey player.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Fame hockey player?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Like a no-doubter?
I don't know if I would say it's hard to say about the Hall of Fame with Tavares, but I will say this. When he signed the contract, we talked about it in the podcast. Like, we've talked about it over the years, how near the end, what are you going to do with him? Like, he's going to be making 11 and a half. He's going to be your fourth line center. Like, a lot of stupid takes like that.
Sure.
And he's given you everything. Everything but a Stanley Cup. But he's given you everything.
Yes, he has. He
shows up.
Yep.
In my eyes, he's a Hall of Famer in the sense of his career from junior right until his NHL. Like, he's just been a steady, consistent NHL player his entire life.
I think that you know, like, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. And, like, ultimately, I there's no way Tavares wants to stay. He's a fucking lead. Like, I look at this guy, like, he wants to leave. Sorry, did I say stay? Yeah, no. Yeah. There's no way he wants to leave. This guy fucking does truly bleed blue. He loves the Toronto Maple Leafs. He has his entire life. So I think with that type of heart and soul guy, you find a way. You find a way to get a contract extension done. And he has shown this year that he can still contribute at a high level. So I am now not on the fence with it. I'm like, yeah, I keep Tavares around, man. But the dollar amount would be the only thing concerning to me. But, like, I guess I would be like, John might go to the team and be like, okay, what's the max you guys can do? Like, and if it's 4, he's probably going to be like, okay. Like, he's not, you think he's going somewhere else for an extra million or a million and a half? No way. No fucking way.
Okay, maybe not, but I don't think it'd be as easy as him just saying, oh yeah, 4.
You think there's a team out there that's going to pay JT $6 or $7 million?
Well, there's a team that paid Max Domi 4.5. Or whatever.
No.
3.5.
3.5.
It's only $1 million. But I'm just saying there's always a team that's going to overpay. I think he will take a hometown discount to stay here.
Has to. Johnny, you made your money. Now, do you want to fucking win or not? Because if so, we need a budget cut here so we can spend that on fucking better pieces. Do you want to stay? Do you want to win or what? He's made a boatload of fucking money in his career. Let's drop the price tag. You're welcome to stay around, but it's going to be at a much lower fucking price. I think he would be okay with that. I really do.
Yeah, he's nearing the end of his career. He should be okay with it.
He's not leaving. Like, I think whatever the least best offer is, he's going to be like, okay, that's fine. Anyway, we'll see. Shout out.
And
shout
it's Mark out. Mark Messier is the other player.
Was it the Moose?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go then. How did I forget that? That's crazy.
I have no idea.
That's crazy. Anyway, okay, thanks for adding that. Anyway, Nylander, 5-minute shift this afternoon. This guy just will not leave the ice on the power play. I guess he's just got the green light from the head coach. Berube's just like, well, just stay out. But a 5-minute shift.
Staying around a 4-minute power play is 4-minute
power
crazy.
Play. And not only that, the 4 minutes ran out and he was still out there for another fucking minute after that. So, like, I know you're not gassed because you're not skating hard up and down.
You're
like,
still gassed.
Well, a 5-minute shift. Yeah. Okay. Sure. But I don't know, man. Like, Willie, I get it. He's the best goal scorer on the team, right? He's like, I think they were showing he's like closing in on, like, he's at the top of the league for goals, right? Like, he's close to Draisaitl. And so,
but that doesn't mean you can take a 5-minute shift.
No. There's still no excuse for a 5-minute shift. Like, you got guys sitting on the bench being like, can I get a shift?
What's going on? You're playing beer league and you're sitting on the bench and like the guy just won't come off. Like, he keeps skating by the bench and you're like, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Come off.
The Grinch, the Christmas Grinch, Willie Nylander won't share it with the other boys. But no, I just thought
when I was watching the game, to be perfectly honest, I didn't even really realize until they said how long his shift was. I didn't even realize he had been out there the whole time.
Crazy, man. 5 minutes. It's the longest shift of the season.
Yeah.
Anyway, by anybody in the league, like no one.
A quarter of a period.
Yeah, that's crazy. Without leaving. It's absolutely mental. Anyway, they only had one shot on that power play, by the way, which went in the net, I think. So like not, I don't know. Fuck. Anyway. More on the power play here coming up in a second. So that's about all I have for that, Chad. I know we're running long here because we gabbed about Matthews for a while, but we need to talk about that because it's such a huge thing as to how this season is going to play out for the Leafs. Like, it's a main topic of conversation, but unless you've got anything else, I think we should go to a little bit of a Leafs Christmas wish list, the gift that keeps on giving the whole year round.
What's in Santa's sack?
Okay. Do you have anything else or do you want to just let me
know?
No,
let me know what's under the tree.
Leafs Christmas wish list.
The Brad tree.
Yeah. It's real simple, guys. Like the Eddie Griswold said, the gift that keeps on giving all year round. That's what we're looking for here. Okay. Under the tree. The main topic for me, it's health, man. Clearly, we don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but I've got a few things and I'd like your thoughts on them. Clearly, the number one thing you want under the tree, if you're tree living, it's a healthy Matthews and it's healthy goaltending. We need these. Look how well we were running. Well, Matthews hasn't been healthy all year, but Stolarz, a healthy Matthews down the stretch and a healthy Stolarz down the stretch, but more importantly than down the stretch in the playoffs. Two healthy goalies, Wall and Stolarz, going into the playoffs, mandatory. So that would be my number one thing on the wish list is just the health of Matthews, the health of the goalies, right?
Yeah. That would be my one and two.
But
actually, that's my whole Christmas list.
Well, I got a couple more, but that is
health,
ultimately health, because we haven't had it this season. Started with the injury to Wall, started with the injury to Matthews, and then he gets banged up again. Stolarz, little scope in the knee. All of a sudden, Murray's making appearances. Like, so we gotta get that health in the right direction leading into 2025, especially into the spring of 2025. Here's Christmas wish, Chad, that I think I would like to see in 2025. Go back to five forwards on the power play. not going to take a shit all over Morgan Riley right now, but I just don't like 44 on the power play. He's not. How many times over the years have we talked about this? I don't see Riley as a guy on the point on the power play that can really help you that much. He's not a threat. I think the power play looked a lot better when they had five forwards going. Now, I know Matthews isn't involved, but that's okay. You can have Nyes back in front of the net, JT, Mitch, Willie, pick another dude, Pacioretty, what another hard-nosed guy that's hard to play. You know what I mean? I'm a defense, or even Ekman Larson, go back to that and give it a look. I just don't like Riley on the power play. I just don't like it.
You're not alone.
I'd like to see them go back to five forwards. What do you think of that for a little Christmas wish?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I would take that. It'd be like a stocking stuffer.
Do you want to see that, though? Like, do you think I'm
I mean, look at it this way. Every single coach that has come in Morgan Riley's tenure has taken him off the power play. He always winds up getting back on somehow, but like Babcock took him off the number one power play. Keefe took him off the number one power play. Berube took him off the number one power play. I don't think he belongs on the number one power play.
No.
It's just not, it just doesn't suit his style. So I'd be totally fine going back to five forwards or putting OEL out there or just trying something different.
When they did the run of five forwards, it was looking pretty good.
Then they gave up some shorties. And then it just, Berube blew a gasket. He's like, you got to have a defenseman back there. You got to have a defenseman. And then they just always fall back on Morgan Riley. It just always seems to fall back on Morgan Riley. I don't know why.
Well, what does he bring you back there? Like, what does he really bring you? When's the last time he took a shot on net on the power play?
Well, he tries to take a shot, but I've said this before. It's into shin pads or misses the net.
He usually just tries to get it to Mitch or Willie. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, he's really predictable at what he's going to do. I don't know. Think of all the things they've tried over the years, and it always comes back to Riley.
Like, if I'm the opposing coach or whatever, I'm like, don't even cover 44 on the power play. Don't even bother. Like, he's not going to do anything with it other than dish it to 88 or 16 on the side.
Or float a wrist shot into somebody.
So, like, Mitch is a much better option back there for me. So, I don't know. That's whatever. Last one for me.
Ho, ho, ho.
Leafs Christmas wish list. Maybe Tree Living can mix in a few presents with a trade or two. There's been a lot of trades happening as of recent in the NHL. Nothing major, but still, there are teams making moves. Maybe Tree Living can mix in a present or two under the tree going into the new year, where coming out of the roster freeze here, to bring a little help for this Leafs team, because I don't know who it's going to be. I'm not sure exactly what direction they're going to go here, but I still believe, here's what I know from earlier today, is that the New Jersey Devils pounded the New York Rangers 5-0. The Rangers are fucking toast. They are toast. They're not coming out of this. It's not happening. So the Eastern Conference for me is wide open, but I still think the team to beat is the Florida Panthers. I still think the East runs through Florida. So you're going to want to, like, I don't think the Leafs are currently structured physically and tough enough. I know they've got Reeves and Pacioretty's been banging, and like, there are some Domi getting a little more physical. I think they need more than that to compete with the likes of Barkov and Tkachuk and Ekblad. Like, Florida are, and Bennett, like, these guys are killers. They're killers, right? So maybe a little more. Well, dude, like, those guys are killers. Well,
they're killers. They're killers. Absolutely. But I think what Berube is trying to do right now is sort of the medicine that you need to take to beat Florida when it counts. Like, I know that the Leafs want to look like they did under Sheldon Keefe, but this whole forward play, chip it in, go after it, cycle the puck, that'll beat the Florida Panthers in the playoffs.
But personnel, do you not think they could use a little more guys that are a little harder?
Oh, for sure. For sure. There's a lot of things they could use. That's what she said. They could use a defenseman that could quarterback the power play.
Yeah.
They could use a third line center, they could use a lot of things.
Yeah.
Some grit would be one, but I think even if you went into the playoffs today with this personnel, if you change, if, if, If you had learned and bought into Brubay's system, it is the right system to beat the Florida Panthers.
System.
Yeah.
Personnel, I'm not 100% there yet.
Well, they have to buy in and do it.
I still think
they're beat the Florida Panthers.
I still think you're a couple pieces away, but yeah, okay. You might be right. But hey, you know what? Just for the hell of it, tree living. It's Christmas. Why not put a couple stocking stuffers under the fucking tree and just add a little bit more grit that can compete with the likes of Bennett and Tkachuk and Ekblad and Barkov in the playoffs? And, you know, Florida's just such a hard fucking team to play against, man. So, and I think that's our biggest, like, I like the least matchups against basically anybody else in the East except them. And just the experience is there. They know how to win. So it should be interesting. But anyway, there's just a little bit of a least Christmas wish list, Chad. That's all I got for tonight, brother. That's it. We're running long. So it's our last episode before Christmas.
Yeah.
I'll
end on this. I just want to wish all our listeners a very Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. Thank you so much for listening and sticking with us for another season of Toronto Maple Leaf Hockey. We really appreciate you tuning in, watching on YouTube, downloading the podcast, listening wherever you do, and all the best until we see you next week. I was going to say New Year, but we'll be back before the New Year.
Yes, we will.
For the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget you can follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We don't really post on Facebook and Instagram anymore, so probably won't even say that. Just go follow us on YouTube. If you're watching this, just hit subscribe, leave a comment, hit the bell so you get notified, and email us tippinpodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions. That's it. We will.
Hey, look, back-to-back coming up on the weekend, coming out of the holiday break against the Red Wings and the Capitals. I think they're in Detroit, and I think they're back home to play the Capitals next weekend. So, like Chad said, I'll reiterate.
Detroit game.
We'll see how it goes. I expect Murray back to get one of those starts, but we'll see. But like Chad said, have a safe and happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. And remember, kids, why is Santa's sack so full? Because he only comes once a year. We'll catch you later.
Brum bum. You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.